Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Perkins Platform. This is a solutions-oriented podcast and live radio show. Each broadcast, we dedicate just about 30 minutes to explore topics of interest for leaders and professionals in education and a variety of other disciplines, and this is your host, Brian Perkins. You know, we're back today after an amazing week last week. We celebrated 10 years as a radio show and podcast. It's still hard to believe that so much time has passed so quickly. Even as I told today's guest about it, who was also pretty amazed at how long. I told you last week that a lot of people asked me, are you sure 10 years? Because a lot of people weren't aware that podcasts were a thing 10 years ago, but they certainly were, and we're glad to have been there. Not quite at the very beginning, but certainly as it started to gain in popularity. And so, as usual, you know, last week we did a show every single day. And so just invite you to go back. Those are still available as podcasts. Some of you are listening live and may not have caught those live last week. But this week we have an exceptional show that we have invited a professor at Vrije University in Amsterdam, Netherlands. He's a professor of biological psychology and has done work on a lot of different topics, including things that we've had other guests on about brain plasticity, cognitive interventions, childhood development, and many more other topics. So I'm delighted to have this conversation today with Dr. Bruno Soss. Welcome, Bruno.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Brian. And congratulations on the 10 years. That's very incredible.
Thank you so much.
And thanks for having me. It's a pleasure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pleasure to have you. And so some of you may be wondering why we're early today. Bruno is actually in Amsterdam. He's called in, and so we're glad to have him. And so in consideration of the time difference, didn't want you to have to get up at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning to join us at our regular time in the evening in the U.S. So we were happy to make the shift and do the show early today. And I'm sure a lot of people are taking their lunch break on the East Coast and maybe even an early lunch elsewhere in the U.S. But around the world, people listen. So certainly if they're not listening live, they'll catch this as a podcast. So I want to jump right in and start talking to you a little bit about, I'd love to start with the work that you're doing. I know you have labs, you've done research in a lot of different areas. Can we start with, tell me a little bit about the research you're engaged in right now.
Yeah, so right now I've been doing research I'm following up on the digital media studies that I've done recently, and then we can talk more soon, and looking at brain development as well, so the effect of digital media on brain development in kids, and as well as looking at cognitive educational interventions in schools that are done here in the Netherlands. Over many different schools here, different apps that teachers are adopting right now and trying to see if they work and trying to see, how much it works and what are the factors influencing. Like if it works for some people, why does it work for some people? And if it doesn't work for others, like why is that? So looking at many different contexts and experiences that kids have, as well as their genetic predispositions, to see if any of that has any impact on the interventions, on the school interventions. So those are, the things I'm mostly working with right now.
Sure. And so I know part of the reason I invited you here was to talk about the impact of the media, digital media on intelligence. Before we get there, I'm there are a couple of things I'm reminded about. I saw on the internet some time ago, there's this there's a video, I mean, not a video, but a meme, and it had what appeared to be people at a baseball game. And you know how sometimes the baseball goes up in the stands, and so there were all of these, let's say, I'm going to say most of the people in the stands were, say, in their 20s and 30s in this particular photograph, and the ball was coming towards people, and they were all dodging because they knew the impact the ball was going to have on them. And then, except there was one little kid who was sitting with his head straight up, and the ball was headed straight for him, and he wasn't ducking. And so what the caption read was, it's clear who grew up before iPads or something along those lines. And so it went on to suggest that perhaps the reason the kid wasn't dodging was because it spent the whole, you know, his whole life or to that point not engaged in a real physical environment and never been hit by a ball or anything like that, didn't know the consequences of not ducking or didn't know to duck. And so I thought there, if you could tell me, you know, what your thoughts are about, you know, children spending much of their time in a kind of virtual world and how that impacts not just kind of like the, I guess we're going to talk about intelligence, but some of their perceptions and perceptive. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good meme. But jokes aside, it's probably an exaggeration. Well, it might be the case for that particular kid. I do not know. But, and by research, there is research still coming showing negative effects on even in cognition. But so far it's very mixed, the results. I think my research added a little bit towards positive impact from digital media, but there's still a lot we do not know. So it's hard to tell. There's no conclusive final word on this, on the if it's digital media and the iPads are good or not, or all the social media and video gaming. But I mean, especially when it comes to video game, it seems to be, when you put all the studies together, when you try to like assess and make a judgment, it seems that the evidence is pointing towards positive, especially when it comes to video game. Then for social media, it seems to be very mixed. And if it's pointing towards anything, it's pointing a little bit towards negative. And then TV watching, Netflix watching, all of that, video watching, then we have very little idea because it's all over the place, the results, like depending on the study. And I think it's also important to keep in mind that it's so hard to get a conclusion right now because all of those media have changed a lot, right? If you think about even TV, right? When I was a kid, which was not that long ago, there was no on-demand TV. We just watched what was on the TV, right? We didn't have cable. Like in the 90s, I just watched what was available. And it seems to be a very different world right now, right? Even for TV, which is maybe it's the thing that didn't change as much, but it changed, right? Like now kids can watch whatever they want. Like my nephew, I have a young nephew, 13 now, and he never just flips over TV and see what's on TV. He just watches exactly what he wants. Fit it to his interests, right?
Right.
Which might make a difference, right? Some authors, some researchers have argued that this might make a difference in development, in children's development, because now they can go much more in-depth into the things they're interested in because they're much more niche of production, which has also changed a lot, right? Before, there were only these big corporations creating media, and now, like, it's much more available for many people to create it, right? Like, for example, podcasts, right? Like, now, it was not a thing in the 90s but now like people can listen to like much more variety than even radio back then. And video games are also extremely recent, right? Even though there have been arcades since the 70s, but video games really only exploded 15 years ago, 20-ish years ago. And came a huge thing only the past 10 years, that now like kids are playing it multiple hours per week, every week on average. Like some kids are playing much more. So this is a very new habit that we did not have before. Same for social media, right? It's a thing that it's also very new. I was growing up without any social media. My point being that this makes it very hard to study because it's a very recent thing. And so sometimes when people compare studies looking at TV watching in the 90s or the early 2000s, that might be a very different thing than looking at studies comparing, looking at TV watching now, like 2010, 2020 for kids now. So it complicates the question further. If that makes sense.
No, it makes a lot of sense. And I guess the real distinction is that what you're talking about when you say points towards positive versus negative is that what we're talking about is its impact on children's intelligence or their cognitive aspect.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not
perfect. I think that's very important too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's not talking about social development, right? So we've had people on that have talked about social development, mm-hmm. and which I would suspect that much of what, you know, when we have teachers or even developmental psychologists that are not talking, they're talking informally or anecdotally, they're not saying that, you know, it's conclusive, but what they're noticing in terms of trends, right? So that when I guess it's very widely held that people mm-hmm. think that, wow, you know, kids just aren't the way they used to be. So let's just use the example I gave with the meme just a moment. Remember, this was probably 10, 12 years ago. I remember my great nephew actually was playing a video game at home. And he was visiting my hometown. And so I watched him play this video game where he was playing pickup basketball. And so the first part of what he did was he took some time and chose what shoes he was going to wear, his avatar. He mm-hmm. chose what t-shirt and shorts, probably a good 15 minutes going through a closet of 100 different t-shirts and, you know, as many pairs of shoes. And so I just laughed because I said, so that was actually what I used to do, but it was in the real world. And then go to this virtual space and play pickup basketball pretty much in the same way. And I just thought about, you know, but I guess maybe it didn't impact him intellectually, but what it did was that it impacted him socially.
Oh yeah, I think so, but I wouldn't say negatively. But I'm not an expert in social psychology. I'm a psychologist, but I've done most of my work with cognition, with the ways we think, we learn, we memorize, and can do reasoning with all those skills.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that it changed, absolutely changed, and the same for previous generations as well, right? It's not like this is the first generation that the kids are different than the previous ones. And we definitely, society overall is becoming much more abstract, right? I remember there's a James Flynn, a psychologist who passed away recently, unfortunately. And he used to say that he's the one who discovered the Flynn effect, the pattern in psychology that intelligence seems to be increasing over generations. It's a very well-replicated finding in psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to say that it's not because the kids nowadays are smart in an objective sense of the word. It's just that now kids today, they care much more about abstract reasoning, abstraction. So they score much higher in those scores, in those abilities than before. And we have data from the 1900s, like early 1900s, 1902, 1903, with questionnaires, for example, of analogies. So there will be questions like what's in common between a dog and a rabbit. So if you ask someone today, so us, like the kids, like we are the new kids, right, compared to that generation. So if you ask us now, most people would say to that question, most people say, oh, both are mammals or something like that, right? They will say something along those lines. And that's what we see in research when we do ask participants. That's what the most common answer is. Both are mammals. In early 1900s, the most common answer was use one, the dog, to hunt the other, which for us now, it almost looks like too simple, right, of an answer. It's like, wow, this is so almost barbaric, right? Like it's so primitive, which is not, of course. It's not primitive at all. It's just that from our perspective now, because our world became so abstract, everything we do, right? Like think about what we're doing now, right? Talking over like across the world through radio waves, getting to people's house. It was something that hundreds of years ago, well, even 100 years ago, it was something super new, like radio waves. And things changed much more since then, right? And now we care about abstractions as if they were real, like mammals, for example. Think of what's a mammal? Like it's nothing practical. There's no mammal out there. There's just dogs that you can use to hunt rabbits, right? Care about these abstractions. So I think answering your question, I think, we probably change. The kids are changing, not only socially but also what's maybe how their minds are working, right? Like what their minds are catching on and the things that they're paying more attention to is changing. But I think that's just how it is, right? That's how it's the society we are building, right? Because we are giving much more importance to abstractions. We are giving much more importance to computer work, right? Think just how much in the 1900s, most of the workers were factory workers or farmers. In developed countries, rich countries right now, that's not the case. Right? You have a lot of people working with digital devices so if the kid, if your grandson, you said, if he's...
No, my great-nephew.
Nephew, sorry. if your nephew is, was using doing the same thing as you were, but in an abstract environment, I guess that's just because society moved to more abstractions, right? Because now we do care about things digitally, because that's where most of what society's interests are. Like most of the jobs are moving that direction, and the activities are moving that direction, right? Like who doesn't have a cell phone today, right? Yeah. A smartphone. Like it would be weird for someone to not have it. It would be an outcast.
Yeah.
It's just because society changed that way. If that answers the question.
And in some of the far corners of the world, like the same exists, like what you're saying, cell phones. And so just going back to, you made some really interesting points, and particularly the one about abstractions. So getting back to children's intelligence, in what ways that might we notice? So let's put this kind of in some concrete terms. So digital media, so give me an example of how digital media has impacted, how would that show up? How would it, if we're saying it has positively, possibly influenced, how might, what might that look like?
Yeah, so One way to measure this, like we have different methods to measure cognitive abilities, like how well the kid is learning or being able to reason. And some tests will measure like multiple different abilities, from how well you can focus and pay attention, how well you can remember things, how well you can read and comprehend what you're reading,
mm-hmm.
how well you can do mathematics, that is adjusted to your grade, right? Like if you're just learning subtraction, then it's going to be about subtraction and so on. And the one I used in this recent research that found a positive impact of video game on cognitive development, it was a battery of tests. It was five different tests. Two of them were about reading and vocabulary, reading comprehension and vocabulary. One of them was about attention, like how well we can focus and ignore distractions on a screen.
Mm-hmm.
Another one was about learning, which is a simple task they had to learn to follow the instructions and how quickly you learned it. And another one was about rotating, like about mental rotation, we call, which is just if you try to imagine like a coffee mug, for example, and I'll try to imagine it rotating like sideways, right, in your mind. And then mm-hmm. that's the kind of test. I also use that test. So then
okay.
I put all those together and then get this measurement of cognitive ability. And that's the one I used this time, right?
Okay.
It varies, but it's usually like a combination of different abilities.
Mm-hmm. So when you say video games, what are we talking about? Just any video game, or there are specific types of video games that you looked at?
Yeah, great question. We did not look at specific video games, unfortunately, because this data, I was not the one collecting it. This data comes from a big project in the U.S. This is data on American kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the ABCD data set. And it's a collaboration with 21 different sites, universities and research institutes in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And they're collecting data on a variety of different variables. So the project is not for digital media. It's just digital media is one of the many hundreds of variables they're collecting across biology, psychology, neuroscience. They're collecting
mm-hmm.
vast amount of information. And they're following up those kids. So
mm-hmm.
they start those kids with, they are 9, 10 years old. That's when it started. It was in 2018, 17, from around that time. That's when the project started. And now they've been following those kids up every year. They give tests again, give questionnaires. They sometimes they get brain scans and so on. They're collecting a lot of data. And I had that data available. And that data was on digital media, different types of digital media. So I could distinguish video game from TV watching, video watching from texting and social media, but that's the amount that we could distinguish, because they didn't ask further the types of genre, which would have been fantastic. It's just that for practical reasons, of course, they're collecting so much data, and in 12,000 kids across the U.S. that it's hard, right, to put everything.
Sure.
There's always more questions that we would like to ask. But it's definitely something that I'm following up now. Like I want to know specifically if, for example, for video gaming, what type of games are actually good, and there might be types that are not good. There might be even types that are harmful. We don't know, right? We do not know. We just know that when we put all those types of games together, there seem to be a positive impact. Because when I follow up those kids 2 years later, the ones that played more seem to be the ones that had more gains in cognition and intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Even after I accounted for like obvious confounding factors like their socioeconomic status, I accounted for genetic predispositions, I accounted for that there was no effect from initial value, like the kids playing, there was no selection, we call selection bias, right? It could just have been the kids who are faster at reasoning, they're just more attracted to video games, right? It could be because of subcultures, for example. It could be that those were the nerdy kids, and that's what nerdy kids do, right? That's their subculture, so they end up playing more video games. So it might be the other way around, the causation, right? And I also try to account for that, and even after those are accounted for, there's still a positive impact. Now, of course, this is one study only. One study cannot solve question, right? This is an enormous question that I was mentioning before. So we should be careful, and there's much more to still research about this.
Yes, sure.
But I think it gives a positive message of that there might be some benefits that we've been ignoring over all this time, right? There's been so much slack about video games and how especially the media loves this, like the press loves to bash on video games because it's such a new thing and we're scared. And I understand, right, that it's such a new medium and that we're scared about that it might be harming kids' cognition. And I think it's an important finding to slow down this and ride a bit against the wave and say, like, hey, maybe it's not like this, right? Maybe we're just overreacting about the negative impact. Like Socrates overreacted about books, right? I don't know if you know this story.
Yes.
When Plato was writing, Plato was writing about Socrates, and he wrote that Socrates was very concerned about people in Greece, in ancient Greece. They were starting to write and read books and put their ideas down in books. And he was concerned because he was like, no, but now if you're putting all of your ideas in books, you don't need to keep them in mind anymore, and you won't be able to have memory. So you will forget things because now they are all on the paper. So you'll not be engaging with your thinking all the time because you have this book, this new technology called book that is terrible. And he didn't write any book, which is why we don't have any writing from Socrates, right? And he was super concerned about the effects of books, of this new medium, on the new kids. And, well, in this case, he was wrong, right? Books did not make kids worse off. In fact, I think they made a society overall much better off.
Yeah. And so it was excellent. I'm glad you brought that up because it is precisely the next point I was going to make is that maybe it is the kind of fear of the transition that is happening around that may have societal implications that is more the issue. I just want to emphasize that we are talking about the intelligence piece, the cognitive development piece, and not social development. You know, there are concerns around it where if you think about the example I gave about instead of going out and just, you know, physically doing those same things, doing it virtually, it depends on where, you know, kind of value gets assigned. As you mentioned, that you know, we've started to make more important abstract thinking and abstract ways of understanding the world. So if that's the case, that's certainly a shift. And it's no different from, say, 100 years ago or 120 years ago, as you mentioned, that it is something that just is an evolution of the way we interact as human beings. And so the real point here is that I guess it would be really interesting to see how, and I'm sure you it may be in your plans to team up maybe with some social psychologists or others down the road to look at.
Yeah, it very much is, actually. I've been thinking about that. Mm-hmm.
How those intersect. That sounds fascinating. Well, listen, this has been a great conversation. We're almost out of time. So as I promised, I wanted to make sure that you had an opportunity to tell people about any of your, you know, books or articles, ways that they may find you, social media or otherwise. If someone's looking for your work, where would they find you?
Yeah, thank you, Brian. Yeah, that was a very, very good conversation. You can find me on Twitter. I have at Bruno Sauce. Sauce is my family name. So all together. And yeah, there you can find my website as well. My website is also brunosauce.net. You can also go to my website if you want, where you can find all my research is there and available to everyone. Like you can download there as well. It's if you find it interesting. And
okay.
It's been a pleasure. Yeah.
Well, it's been my pleasure. Thank you again. You've added to me, and I'm sure people listening in would agree. And just will be listening and watching for your success, and looking for more articles and research coming from you. And so, until then, go well, stay well.
Thank you. You too.